T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Preacher and the Teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Ground ball bounced to first, grabbed by Morales. Underhands to the pitcher, 3-1 out, ends the ball game, and it ends the 10-game Red Sox win streak. They fall to the Toronto Blue Jays on this Friday night, 13-7, but they keep the 3.5-game lead over the Yankees, who also lost in the American League East. Again, the final, Toronto 13 and the Red Sox 7.
Well, if you're a Triskaidekaphobiac, yesterday was not for you. Friday the 13th, on the 13th, Red Sox gave up 13 runs. And, of course, everybody knows, Larry, you being the Greek scholar that you are, Triskaidekaphobia means fear of the 13. Number 13.
Well, Marino and Chamberlain seemed to do all right with
they
it.
They did okay, so. Though. Marino only didn't win one Super Bowl.
Right.
Wilt won a couple, but the guy that wore number 6 in the green and white won 11, I believe. That was his arch rival. So maybe 13 didn't work out so well. Red Sox finally lost the game after sweeping 3 series and winning the first game of the Toronto series. It had to come to an end, but these guys are just absolutely astounding what they have done in spite of last night's loss. They have just pummeled these mediocre teams in the American League and have a 3.5-game lead over the Yankees.
Well, I think we're still recovering from the other night when Betts had
epic. How many pitches was that? Oh, it was 13.
Pitch grand slam.
All
and
right.
The place erupted. Yep. I mean, I've never seen a 3-2 count. And the whole place was, everybody was standing. I mean, they were as Eckersley would say, potty time. They were anticipating an event, and they got one. And he hit the grand slam, and it was a tremendous effort on his part. I thought last night, again, they had won 10 straight, so you really can't knock the team for anything like that. Smoke had 2 homers against them. But my biggest problem with last night's game will continue to haunt me until we get to the playoffs. And that is, other than Sale, I mean, the records aren't bad. Sale's 10-4, Porcello's 11-4, Price 10-6, Erod 11-3. I mean, it's not bad that way. But other than Price and other than Sale, I really don't have the confidence in their starting rotation that one would like to have.
So the Red Sox have won 8 or more games in a row 3 times before the All-Star break. No team has ever won this many games before the All-Star break.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Okay. They just finished a 10-game winning streak, and you're raining on the Red Sox parade, Larry Johnson? Are you saying that we should not count our proverbial chickens?
I'm saying that when you're talking about the trade deadline in different needs. The thing about your number 1 or 2, or yeah, I think your top 3 starters, you really should be able, for the most part, to be able to feel comfortable or predict like a 6-inning, 3-run game. You should be able to get that out of them. And I think that when this team takes the field with their starters, that a couple of them, you know, Price didn't manage to do all right. He was losing 2-0, and then, of course, Betts came up with a big hit. But you still, do you still have that much confidence in Price when he takes the mound?
Well, this is the problem that I have, and I'm mocking you, but I tend to agree with you. Last week, I thought the Red Sox, even with a 2-game lead, and they stretched it out to 2.5 in spite of the 10-game wins, it's still close with the Yankees, but they're right now, they're in the driver's seat, and they're, you know, they've proven to be a slightly better team than the Yankees, although you have to put the 3 superstar teams, and I'm not going to discount Cleveland as well. Never underestimate the Indians. But the Red Sox right now are the class of the league. The problem is, and you're absolutely right, I'd put my money on Houston's starting rotation and their success against the Red Sox in last year's postseason right now over the Red Sox prevailing against the Astros. And I think the reason is you're just beyond Sale. And how many postseason wins has Chris Sale recorded?
Has he got one?
None.
He lost that one game.
Lost the game, was fairly impressive in relief, but lost that opening game. Porcello, a couple years ago, when he won the Cy, Larry, remember what he did when he opened up the series against the Indians and got pounded in Cleveland? David Price, we know about his trials and travails as a starting pitcher. So you're absolutely right. I don't want to throw cold water on this. I think you should celebrate a team that's won, 66 games before the All-Star break?
Phenomenal.
They're 36 games over 500. Are you kidding me? They're on pace to win like 111, 112 games. The team in Red Sox history with the most wins is 105. That would be the 1912 team, the year they opened up Fenway Park. And they did win the World Series. And Smokey Joe Wood was their starting pitcher, won 34 games that year, if you remember. I mean, we were there, Larry, of course. I think we did a couple of live shows from Fenway right before those two World Series games.
That's right, Miss Frank from Boston. He was an eyewitness to these things.
But, you know, and I'm looking at Alex Speer, has a great column today in, actually not a column, but, an article in the Globe talking about and pondering, based on the headline, is this the best Red Sox team ever? We're talking about a team, you know, that could win more games, probably will win if they continue to do what they're doing, and it seems like they're destined to do that because I looked at the schedule, and we talked about this last week, how mediocre July was as far as their opponents are concerned, and they're taking advantage. They're beating up on bad teams. That's what great teams
Which,
do.
Which, going back to Shaughnessy's piece a week ago that made some people uncomfortable, but he was right. There's about five really good teams, and everybody else is like tomato cans.
Right. And, you know, and Speer points out the best team that we've seen over the last 20, 25 years was that 98 Yankee team, 114 wins, went on to win the World Series. They were 14-1 against both the Rays and the Marlins that year. 18-3 against Kansas City and 18-3 against Detroit. That's what you do. You pummel the bad teams. You pound them into submission. Make no mistake about it. And that's what they did to Texas. They did it to, should be a much better team in Washington. They did it to Kansas City. They know how to beat teams that are mediocre, and they put them away. And that's what you have to do. The problem is, and this is where I think there's some credence to your concern. That's not going to happen. They're not going to be pummeling the Astros. They certainly have been able to beat the Yankees when they're playing at Fenway, but then they get ripped at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, for all of this excitement, and you're right, that was one of the great at-bats ever. It would have been even more exciting had it been the ninth inning instead of the fourth inning. But a 13 epic at-bat pitch at-bat ending with that. And that pitch, by the way, that Hap threw. That was a great pitch.
Yeah, great pitch.
That was a great pitch.
Swing and a drive. Deep left field. It's a grand slam.
I think also what made that exceptional was the way Betts reacted to it. I don't know why or what edict came down from who or on high or whatever that – these baseball players that get like golfers, you know, you just don't get that enthused about anything. You just go through the game. And I think people love that. He almost fell down going around first base. That's what I like. I'm an emotional person. I like emotion, passion. I like to recognize the moment. And he did. And I think that's what helped to make that such a climactic event. But I think you summed it up best. I mean, I think this is a phenomenal Red Sox team. I think they're going to go well over 100 wins, well over.
Unless they go in a complete slump in the second half of the year.
I don't see that happening. Nope. I don't see that. Betts and Martinez have been unbelievable with the hitting. However, when you get to the playoffs, you tell me who you feel comfortable out there on the mound. I like the way they've handled Sale. This year, he's pitched 129 innings. He's they're not, you know, draining him out like they were doing last year. So I think he should be fine. He might even pitch the All-Star game. He's been phenomenal. But other than Sale, tell me who could take the mound that you feel comfortable with.
Well, David Price right now is the number two man in your rotation.
Do you feel comfortable with him?
No. No, we know.
In fact, when he gave up that home run the other night, I'm sure everybody sat there saying, oh, brother, here we go again. To his credit, he got out of it, and he got a win, and I'm happy for him. But
yeah.
I don't feel that confident.
No, that's right the now. Problem. In spite of it all, and, you know, they're just running roughshod over these awful teams in the American League. And, you know, you could say in baseball, that's the big problem. We've touched upon it the last couple of shows. There really isn't a whole lot of competition outside the big three, and you're going to have to add Cleveland. So I'll say there are four teams in the American League, all of which could beat any team in a World Series showdown from the National League. You tell me who the best team in the National League is. Is it the Dodgers? I'm not buying the Braves or the Phillies or any of the other teams that are emerging. The Cubs possibly, but they're not playing great baseball right now. The National League doesn't offer to me the greatness from top to bottom that the Red Sox, Astros, and Yankees in that order offer, and then you throw in Cleveland. So, yeah, you're right. This is a dominant team on paper. They're doing it on the field. And I'm continuing to read this Alex Speer piece in the Globe, which is an excellent one. Of course, Alex got his start at WEEI.com, and he's continued to be brilliant at the Globe. And let me just read this lyric, because this is interesting. The Red Sox are the 10th team since the introduction of the league championship series in 69 to start the season with a record of at least 65-30. Of the first nine, seven reached the World Series, three won it. All nine teams won at least 100 games. Four of the five teams to open with a record of at least 66-29, including last year's Dodgers, did reach the World Series. So those numbers bode well. Statistically, the likelihood that they're going to go to the World Series is good.
Mm.
But tell me who else is going to take the ball in a rotation, beginning with Chris Sale, and even that rotation doesn't have a whole lot of postseason wins under its belt in
now,
the starting rotation.
Now, one certainly can make the point, however, that when you look at the Yankees, other than Savino, Sabathia is 6-4. Sonny Gray 6-7. He had a decent outing the other night for a change. Tanaka 7-2. You know what it is? It comes down to the trust factor. Like, I'm not saying every time you go out on the field you're going to be Nolan Ryan, but the trust factor is, can you trust this guy to go out and give you a decent six innings? That's become the new standard now. It used to be complete game. Forget that. If you can get six innings and then three runs or less, then you're doing pretty good. I think all these teams have good lineups. That's what's so interesting. You know, Judge and Stanton and the like. I mean, the Yankees are loaded in that department. But, I mean, overall, when you're just concentrating on the Red Sox, yeah, I like the team a lot. But I do, you do wonder from game to game, what kind, other than Sale, what kind of pitching are you going to get?
Right, and I'll say this.
Pacello was a perfect example of that yesterday.
Right, and he's eminently capable of looking very good on one start, and then in another start, looking like he's just throwing up batting practice.
I mean,
couldn't
he
make it
up,
out of the third inning last night.
Give up seven hits, right. Eight runs, four walks, only had two Ks, and he gave up two homers.
And the problem is, we've seen him implode in the postseason. We've seen Chris Sale being less than invincible in the postseason. We know about David Price.
Yeah, but at least with Sale, they're trying something. They're not having the guy go eight innings. Or
right.
Not, you know,
yeah.
They've cut that back some.
And the big problem, what is Sale's historic problem, which you know as well as I do, is he doesn't pitch well in the last month of the season. That arm tires for all his greatness. Price can't win in the postseason. Erod untested. He's coming off a great performance in his last outing. Will he continue that this afternoon? But again, what experience does Erod have that you can trust him in a postseason game?
He's 11-3. He's got 99 innings.
No,
so far,
I like him still, as a pitcher, but,
I understand,
but he's a regular season guy.
You know what's so funny, too, with the All-Star game? It's almost like it becomes an interruption. I'd rather not have Sale pitch in that game. You know what I mean? When you take your really good players, I'd rather them get some. Benintendi, he's got some time off anyway. He had a death in the family, but I'd rather them get some rest and stay home. And you know, the All-Star game becomes an interruption for some of these players who I want to get some rest and keep it together. I don't want Chris Sale out there pitching, starting, but they might use him anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny how that used to be such a badge of honor to have a Red Sox player not only be in the All-Star game but perform well. Now it's an exhibition tilt. Red Sox have other much more important things on their mind, like keeping the Yankees at bay and getting prime for the postseason.
What are the Yankees, 3.5 out?
They're 3.5. They lost last night to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, and we said this last week, and, you know, I wasn't basing it
on... Are you excited about baseball right now?
This has been a recurrent theme for you all season long.
I thought the other night certainly gave us everything that you would want for, you know.
But is that enough? Is that what a Red Sox fan in the 21st century wants? A Red Sox fan that has enjoyed 3 World Series, on its way to another postseason berth, is a 4th inning, 13 pitch at bat. Is that going to define the Red Sox season?
It's time to party!
I don't know.
Eck's been great, isn't he?
Yeah. The problem is...
Was it Trot Nixon who had that 10 foul balls and then hit a home run when it was against Roger, I think?
Yes.
I'm not being funny.
No, I know. No, what do you mean being funny? Trot Nixon owned Roger Clemens.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was a long at bat, but Trot had a big home run.
It was a long at bat.
Well, I remember Trot had a big home run late in a Red Sox Yankee game in the regular season at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Pedro beat Roger like 2-1 or 2-0, something like that. It was an epic regular season showdown between Pedro and Roger, and Trot won it in the 9th inning, top of the 9th at Yankee Stadium with a home run, but I don't remember how many pitches that was. But Trot always fared well against Roger over the years.
I mean, the ratings, I think it's funny because I got home late last night. I was going to drop Sam Kennedy a line and just congratulate him. I think he's done a great job over there marketing. And no, I'm serious. And
you are such a rump swab. It's
unbelievable. You don't think he's one of the best. He's one of the best.
Very
people
nice
in
man.
Sports for
Very
that.
Nice.
He really
man.
Is.
Yep.
And they've been banging the place out over there. So I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. I don't expect them to win every game they're playing. It's just the number 3 guy there, Porcello, I was disappointed in his performance, more so because I'm trying to find a few people I can trust.
Right, but are we being too nitpicky about this? Are we...
Well, not during the regular season, but I think when it comes to the playoffs, and as you know, short series and you're out. You got to be able to rely on a couple of people.
Right. And we know that, you know, there were 37,000 last night. The place, as you pointed out, quote unquote, has been banged out each and every night. It's a rite of summer to go to Fenway Park.
Great weather.
Yeah. No matter how good or bad a Red Sox team is, there's nothing like going to Fenway Park in the summertime. And so many tourists make that a destination location, of course. It, you know, for all the Camden Yards and Jake's and all the other retro parks out there, it's still a tremendous experience to go to the original one right over there on Jersey Street. So it's an event no matter how good the team is. And I guess we're supposed to...
My biggest problem is the damn seats are too small.
Well, that's your problem.
And I can remember... No,
exactly.
No,
that's
no,
your
no,
problem,
no,
sir.
No, no. Even for the normal size 6-footer, it's tight. And the other problem is that last game I went to, it was like an aerobics class. I am not exaggerating. I got
up and down.
15 times because people had to get up and go get a beer or go to the... See, first they go get a beer, then a couple of minutes later they got to go to the bathroom. So, and I don't know what you can do about that.
There's nothing you can do about that. If you're going to have a beer, Larry, it's inevitable you're going to be going to the bathroom.
Camden,
can't fight anatomy,
Camden,
kid.
Yeah, do they have more space in terms of people by?
Yes, they do.
So, like, you don't have to get up or something for somebody
to
get
by. I've always said this, and we've been saying it for over the 26, 27 years that Camden Yards has been around. I think they opened up in 92. That has it has the beauty of Fenway, the classic architecture of the old parks like Fenway or Ebbets Field, you name it, but with all the modern conveniences, wider aisles, more convenient concession stands. I suggest, because I know you used to go down to the Maryland area.
I do.
I cannot believe you have never been.
Never been
to and, Camden Yards. Yeah, it is
I
a
get
beautiful
down there,
experience.
I do want to get down there and check out a game.
Yeah, I was down there.
I don't
there.
Know about how good a time it is now to go, the way the Orioles are playing.
Well, but, plenty of good seats available, except for the Red Sox and Yankees, and you got all Red Sox and Yankee fans when those two teams come to town. But it is it's a great take, right down to the waterfront, the Baltimore Harbor. Some great restaurants down there.
I do think what's happening, though, that's very interesting, you look at the Philadelphia 76ers and the like, is I think in baseball some of these teams, I don't think it's that they're trying to lose, but even with Baltimore, I don't sense a panic down there with Duquette and company and Showalter. I think it's just, hey, listen, you got to build through the draft. You got to finish low so you can get some good draft picks. Maybe a couple of free agent signings, and that's the way you got to do it. And I think that's what you're seeing with some of these young teams that start to come back. Is it starting to do that?
Well,
because I don't know how else you can do it. But the problem with that is, I go back to Dan's column. I love Dan's stuff anyway, but they don't have that many. Like I don't know how many players you can name in the All-Star game. They don't have that many marquee players.
No, but who cares about the All-Star game anymore?
It's not the point, though. No. It's the point that it's a statement about the game itself.
Yeah, but, they've been predicting baseball's doom for a long time, and we've had this conversation, I think, as recently as last week.
So if you're
week.
The commissioner, then you just go, oh, well, and you don't give a damn.
Well, I think that we're living in a bubble here, Larry, where baseball is alive and well, and you know as well as I do, if the Red Sox are playing well, baseball is number one. I don't care how good the Patriots are.
See, it's hard when you just take the position from here, because from here— I agree with you. But from here, I mean, what's to complain about? 66 wins, and I mean, you got one of the best pitchers and two best hitters. There's nothing to complain about, and I'm not even complaining. I'm just saying when you assess the whole situation across the league, that I still think Shaughnessy nailed it.
Right, but no one, as he always does, there's no question about it. Baseball has a mediocrity problem on its hands.
How do you fix it?
I don't disagree with it.
How do you fix
but
it?
But how are you going to get anybody around here to care about that? You know, all we care about, we live in our little provincial world, we care about one thing, beating the Yankees. After that, nothing else matters. No one cares about what's going on in the National League. National League is irrelevant.
But in the long run, again, otherwise you got to keep spending over the luxury tax. You got bets coming up. You got some of these younger players coming up who are going to want to get their big payday. Unless you just keep spending through the nose.
Well, again,
I think the Yankees have done a really good job with that as far as where they stand. They've got a pretty good farm system. Their payroll is under control.
Yeah, and they've certainly righted the ship as far as excess payroll is concerned. That bloat is no longer. But you have right now a classic, and I think this is shaping up to be a classic season. The Yankees come in at the end of the month. Actually, it's the beginning of August. I'll be in London, so I'm going to miss the series. But that should be interesting at Fenway. And they have two more series after that, one at Yankee Stadium, and they end the season. And we've talked about this before, last three games of the season, September 28th through the 30th, Fenway Park, Boston.
So they are going to have to get a star-studded performance out of CeCe and Tanaka.
See, here's the irony of this, and I've been saying it all year and probably contradicting myself, but what else is new? I say the Red Sox have the edge because of the starting pitching in the regular season. I'd rather have Tanaka and CeCe on the mound in the postseason along with Severino than anything the Red Sox have. For whatever reason, Red Sox numbers, starting rotation numbers, look very good in the regular season. That we go right, we circle back to what you started with about 25 minutes ago. Can you trust this rotation and this bullpen in a tight series against either the Yankees, Astros, or Cleveland? That's the problem. For all this jubilation, the reality of the postseason indicates they may not have all of that in the pitching department And they may find themselves, once again, like last year, on the outside looking in after just four postseason games. 617-779-7937. Do you share our concern? We want to hear from you. You know what? Last week, Larry, we did not hear from nary one Yankee fan. Not one Yankee scum called our show. The Yankees lose. I mean, it was amazing. No, seriously, we didn't hear from any of the people that usually pollute this show. Not one of them.
Yankees are in a tough situation right now. They're playing Cleveland. So, I mean,
Cleveland,
who would you rather play, Cleveland or Toronto? Right,
but the Red Sox have taken, except for last night, they've taken care of business against the teams they're supposed to beat. And beating teams on the road like Washington is a feather in their cap. You're supposed to beat Texas. You're supposed to rip Kansas City. You're supposed to take care of Toronto. Who was the other team they beat before then? There was some other team they knocked around pretty easily. You're supposed to do that. That's what all great teams
been doing
do. Right. Question is, they're not going to have those teams around in the postseason, so there is some cause for concern here on July 14th, Bastille Day in France. I know that's a big day for you, Larry. 617-779-7937. It's Mustard and Johnson Sports Radio, WEEI.
This is Mustard and Johnson Sports Radio, 93.7 WEEI and WEEI.com.
Swings and rips one down the right field side, and that ball is gone. A line drive home run just inside the pesky pole. It is 8-6 Toronto.
Yeah, he was erratic. I mean, four walks. That's it. it wasn't a good one, and we know it is going to happen. You know, they're going to have one of those, and we turn the page. He's going to get his turn, the fourth game after the All-Star break. He'll be okay.
Alex Cora on the trials and tribulations of one Rick Porcello last night. Didn't even make it out of the third inning before he was given the old hook. Red Sox actually had a 6-3 lead in that game, but not for long, and their 10-game winning streak is no longer. Friday the 13th, not so lucky for the Red Sox, and we were talking about the number 13 figuring prominently. And last night, 13-7 Toronto win, that 13-pitch at-bat the night before in the fourth inning that resulted in the Mookie Betts grand slam. Was that the highlight of the year so far, you think? A fourth-inning grand slam?
And I agree with you. I wish it was later in the game, but I'll take it.
No, it was one of those games that you'd think if you knew nothing about the game and someone said, oh, did you hear about Mookie's grand slam last night? You would have think it was a late inning. But no, it was the fourth inning.
But still, fouling off 13 pitches in a 3-2 count.
Right.
I mean, that was drama.
Right, no question about
Party
it.
Party time!
All right, 617.
Where's Remy, by the way? I love Eck. I love him. But I wish I knew what they were doing over there. I hope Remy's feeling okay.
Probably health-related. And, you know,
it's
always,
okay.
Always good to hear the Eck because he brings a fresh perspective to the game.
Remy and Eck are the only two they should ever have in there.
So what are you saying? What are you saying?
Just what I said. Remy,
so
you're
taking shots at my old friend Steve Lyons?
No, I just think Remy.
Well, you just said that you didn't.
Remy
you
and
thought,
Eck
okay,
are
you,
the two
so
best
by implication,
analysts. Oh, well, you take it wherever you
you're
want.
You're implying, you didn't say it directly, but you think Steve Lyons is a bad broadcaster.
Let it snow, James, amigos.
That's right. People call you Shemp. You know,
actually, our old partner looked just like him.
That was
late,
one of the
great
best calls ever. We were doing a Dennis and Callahan show in the morning, and the guy says, whenever you guys are on, it's like watching the Three Stooges, and then Joe is on for instead of Curly.
What I was referring to is our former partner, Dick Raddatz, was a dead ringer for Shemp. I mean, he and Shemp separated at birth.
Lodge.
He didn't quite see the resemblances.
You know, for
did.
All the people think about you, and I go on record as saying it.
Oh,
you,
forget that.
You were very, very, very good to him. You really were. You were very good to him.
Well, he's a great guy.
I don't know why you're such a jerk otherwise, because you were very good with him.
Blair in Maine is next on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Blair, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Top of the morning.
Yep.
So, hey, anyways, how do you lose to a team that's 21 games out that's not going to make the playoffs? Please tell me that.
Well, you could say that about the whole league, though. I mean, there's quite a few people that teams that are not that worthy. So, you, by all rights, you should be beating all of them.
You're right.
So what are you telling me? You're telling me the Red Sox had no business losing last night's game to a sub-500 team?
Well, They must have had a tough one because 13-7 kind of got to hurt them losing the Blue Jays when they're 21 games out.
Yeah, but you know what, though? And I think Corey answered it. What a delight he is, boy. The guy just comes out and tells you the truth. And he just said Porcello just didn't have it. And I think that because they're human beings, they're going to go through stretches where they're just not going to perform that well.
No, and listen, it's baseball. You can lose on any given night. They play 162 games. Each game is, by definition, doing the math, about 10% of a football game. So if you lose a baseball game on any given night, who cares? I mean, you can lose to Toronto. You could even split this series. It's not going to be disastrous. What you have to do is generally, and the Red Sox have been very, very accomplished at this, generally beating all the tomato cans. And that, you know, that tomato can, remember the bum of the month club? That was the term it was used for all of Joe Louis's. Again, we were there at ringside for all those Joe Louis fights in the 30s, 40s, and early 50s. Every opponent that Joe Louis fought, except for Billy Kahn, seemed to be a bum. You know,
and that, you know, sometimes you can't blame the champion. If you fight whoever comes along and you got a string of bums, then that's what you have.
All you can do is beat the team in front of you, and the Red Sox have done that exceedingly well, and I might add, much better than their main rival has. John from Alden, you're next on Sports Radio.
Well, first of all, Craig, I want to say I'm watching.
It's a great match. I try not to announce.
Unbelievable.
This. Hey, folks, pay no attention to those guys on the radio. Go watch Nadal and Djokovic.
You can watch and talk at the same time.
You know, if you like boxing or tennis, I mean, it's mano-a-mano. Two guys.
It is amazing. You know, I'm happy that Djokovic is back because he's been in a slump for the last 2 or 3 years. I don't want him to beat Nadal because Nadal is my favorite, but this is a great match going on.
Right. Back to the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, the Red Sox are looking like they're going to be tough to beat.
Oh, I get could this be the John from Walden white flag being waved?
I didn't say we couldn't beat them.
Oh,
I mean,
where's the usual swagger, the bravado?
John, in all fairness, right now, the Yankees are playing one of the better teams in the league. And that's what we're talking about.
But you know what, Larry? The Red Sox are doing what you're supposed to do. Like Craig said, the 98 Yankees mopped up on the crap, and that's what the Red Sox are doing. I mean, they won 10 straight, and it took a team scoring 13 runs to beat them. You know? So how many times is that going to happen?
Right.
But
so,
it goes back still, though, to my initial concern. When you're talking playoffs, which rotation do you trust the most?
Yep. Well, Craig made a good point, and I would look at it this way. What if the Red Sox are the team that has to play the one gamer and Chris Sale isn't available? Because if the Yankees are in there, I wouldn't have a problem with Tanaka, CeCe, or Severino.
See, here's the difference, and you heard me say this, as much as I think the Red Sox rotation is better in the regular season, I'll take any one of those three guys, over Sale, who's done nothing in the postseason. He's only had one opportunity under, you know, I understand that, but CeCe's been there before, has answered the bell. Severino, the second time through, answered the bell. Tanaka had that great game against Houston. Was it game five? In the ALCS, these guys have been in the postseason and they have performed when the lights were shining the brightest.
Hey, John, is Sonny Gray back?
No. You're not going to count on Sonny Gray to do anything. You got to be kidding me.
He had a decent outing. That's his last outing.
Who was that against? Was that the Baltimore Orioles, the worst team in baseball?
Well, and the Yankees couldn't even sweep them.
We just got through saying you got to take who's in line.
Well, yeah, but you know what, Larry? They get the three guys I just mentioned. Domingo Germán had a bad game last night, but him and this other guy, Loaisiga, if they can get some seasoning, those guys can pitch better than Sonny Gray, and that's five starters right there.
Yeah. Are you satisfied with Stanton?
Absolutely. The guy's hitting.
What's he got? 23 homers.
He's almost 280, maybe.
Yeah.
The guy's having a great year. The thing is that J.D. Martinez is one of the great years. So
here's what you got right now. You got the combination in the Bronx, and you got the combination in Boston.
Right. Right.
And right now, the combination in Boston is edging out the combination in the Bronx. It's simple as that.
Well, early on, the Yankees, you know, it was their offense. It was just tearing it up. Now the offense is a little quieted down, and the Red Sox offense has taken over. I don't think it's their pitching. I mean, every game they're up 4-0. They're
right.
up 5-1, six right. runs in early innings.
But so. Your only hope, John, is the scenario that I was painting earlier, is that the Red Sox can't do that against the elite teams come postseason time.
I agree.
Right.
And also I would say, even with this 10-game winning streak that the Red Sox just railed off, they're only two ahead in the loss column.
Oh, I knew the loss column would be coming up, John. You were so predictable.
Greg, 10 wins?
I remember it was like, I remember when the loss column lead was like about 3 or 4. What happened to that big Yankee lead?
It was 4.
Yeah.
It was 4. And the Yankees have calmed down a little. And they won 10 straight, Craig. Anytime you win 10 straight,
no, it's pretty tough, right? Yep.
Hey, when's the last time, you've seen a hitter like Mookie Betts? For his size in the wrist and what this guy's able to produce, not just with power, he went 3 for 4 last night.
He's having an MVP season. Him and J.D. Martinez, I mean, fantastic years. It just overall, I think their lineup is really productive. So, listen, Larry, I think this is one of the worst seasons I've ever seen for Red Sox fans with total... They're oblivious to their team this year. Where is the caring? Their team's going to win 105 games, and I've never seen their fans just like blasé. They are blasé towards this team. I'm having a great time this year with baseball.
It's almost like, John, it's almost like that if there's nothing to complain about, then you don't call. And you don't,
More than that, though. I don't hear it. I don't hear it in the people's voices, Larry. In my out and aboutness, I just don't hear it. It's just like, okay.
Well, you can understand, John. John,
wait for the playoffs.
Right.
See what happens.
But John, you can understand that.
At all, Craig,
for
you, I'm going to have to hear from all these frauds who pretended they were on the bandwagon all year.
Yeah, but John, for years when the Yankees were the better team than the Red Sox, you always heard it from Yankee fans, myself included. Let's just get to the postseason. Forget this regular season nonsense. Let's see what happens in the postseason. And I think Red Sox fans do that for a couple of reasons. One is they know they're going to get to the postseason anyway. They're playing a lot of mediocre teams. It's inevitable they're going to be there. And they're afraid, I think. There's still a lot of suspicion that they're going to fall like they did the last couple of years with bad starting pitching when it comes to the playoffs.
Well, that could absolutely right. happen. But when you have that grand slam by Mookie Betts, that look was like, hey, you know what? Maybe we are for real.
But
you know what I mean?
Have the Yankees had a moment like that this year? They've had a couple of walk-offs and things like that. But
they
that
had
was
a few walk-offs, yeah. and they have a big winning streak for a while there. They started 9-9 and went like right. 40-9.
Right. You know, it's funny, though. Earlier when I said the Red Sox would not play better than their 17-2 start, well, they just did play better than their – you know? They have been out of this world, and for the Yankees to be only, I guess, 3.5 behind, 2 in the loss column, as John always wants to point out, with the Red Sox being red hot.
I think John's right, though. I don't think people are that – I don't know. I mean, they're at the ballpark. They're banging out the ballpark. But I don't hear it. Do you?
Not at this radio station, anyway. Not on this show. And again, we know that.
Well, I listen all week.
What fuels talk radio, Larry? Negativity. As your favorite basketball coach once said, the negativity in this town may suck for coaches. It's great for talk radio hosts. And it's just not happening. What's not to like about this team yet?
One you can point out is Price, and if Price had lost the other night, then you would you'd get that today.
Right, and we, you know, predictably, you know, embarrassed himself at Yankee Stadium a couple weeks ago, and the problem is, and this is where I think there's a little reluctance to be completely on board, is because you know that it could all go up in smoke. Just because you might win 110 games, and that's possible, they'll probably end up like 104, 105, something like that. But you can be a 100-win team and lose the World Series or even lose before then. Hey, look what happened to Seattle in 2001. Yeah. They got rid of Griffey and A-Rod. They won 116 with Ichiro. Ichiro was the MVP. And they lost to the Yankees in the ALCS.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Thank you, Rick. 617-779-7937. Hard to find any negativity.
Was he in a restaurant when he said that?
Yeah. And what did he order, Larry? What did he ask the maitre d' when he walked into the restaurant?
Table for one.
Oh, okay. There you go. I guess these days it is just table for one for poor Rick. 617. He's so misunderstood. 617-779.
Yeah, success is a choice.
7937 is our telephone number. More of your telephone calls coming up. It's Mustard and Johnson till 11.
Mustard and Johnson are on now. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI at WEEI.com.
So you don't think that the audience out there, you're pissed off because you don't think they're engaged.
I think this is a great team to watch.
Really?
This is a fun team to watch. You turn on,
it is a fun team.
JD Martinez hit another bomb, 28 bombs, 77 RBIs. But before the season started, oh, it's a big year, 93 wins. They got to get off to a hot start. They go 17-2. What do you hear? Doesn't mean anything.
Well, you know what? The argument that we're having, or at least the discussion, echoed throughout the week with the midday show. And I do think there's the wait and see. You need to show me in the postseason philosophy going on with a lot of Red Sox fans. If you go to Fenway Park, that's a different story.
We don't do that with it. We won't do that with the Celtics, will we?
Well, the regular season in
don't you want to just enjoy the games, watch the young players develop? I mean, if you're a baseball purist, isn't that enough to watch players like Mookie and Bogaerts and Devers.
Since when? And I've been watching the Red Sox since 1966, you even longer. Since when, really since 67, has any Red Sox fan wanted to sit back and watch the development of these players and marvel at the farm system?
Okay, well, why are they banging out the stadium?
Because baseball is king. When the Red Sox are good, they're the most popular team in town. Maybe they're not quite as popular as the Patriots. I don't know.
You think they're the most popular team in town right now?
Right now they are because the Patriots aren't.
Nobody's
started.
Playing, right?
Right. I mean, Patriots might have taken over the town for good with all the Super Bowls and Brady and everything else.
I think the Celtics are coming up on the outside.
Well, I know you think that, but there's a huge gap between the two winner teams and football and baseball. This is my theory, and again, it's not scientifically proven. I have not. Only anecdotal, Danny's favorite word from Quincy, only anecdotal evidence. You have baseball fans and football fans. They're going to be, if you're a Red Sox fan, you're a Patriot fan. But you're not, if you're a Celtic fan, you're not necessarily a Bruins fan. See, I think the Bruins and the Celtic fans split in the winter. So I think the Celtics, for all their success in their history, and they're certainly on their way up now, probably will go to the finals. How could they not go to the finals next year with the dilution of the East and LeBron going to L.A.? But I still don't think they have the numbers. The Celtics or the Bruins have the numbers that the Red Sox and Patriots have.
That is
you disagree with that, Kyle?
No, okay. I think it will be interesting. I mean, we don't get the ratings in here, but I think it will be interesting to look at the ratings and to see just how these teams are doing. Red Sox the other night, ratings went through the roof with that Betts game.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
What you saw the rating somewhere?
Somebody was talking about it. It was written about it.
If you think about it. Why would they go through the roof for that game? Would people suddenly say, I don't know. I have to be in there for this?
I don't know, because I watched a replay of it, and it was just the fourth. Like you said, it was just the fourth inning.
Oh, hey, kids, let's gather around the tube and watch Mookie in the fourth inning against the Toronto Blue Jays, the arch rival in the AL East. I'm sure the numbers have been good all season long, my guess. But again, going back to what Lou was saying with Glenn and the midday guys, there's still this suspicion, this fear, this anxiety that it's all going to go up in a puff of smoke if they take on the Astros or even the Yankees or even Cleveland in the first or second round of the playoffs.
Your theory is, so therefore, people are kind of hesitant to throw themselves in totally.
Exactly. Let's check out Colin from Falmouth, who is next on Sports Radio WEEI. What's going
on, Colin?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
Comment, and then I'll listen off here. But the reason I think everyone keeps talking about baseball, you know, I'm 55. I enjoy watching. It's great for the old generation. But the reason I think it's losing interest is because the younger kids aren't playing. They're all playing lacrosse. No one talks about baseball anymore. It's lacrosse, lacrosse, lacrosse. My kids play lacrosse, and like the baseball numbers are so down. And if the kids aren't playing baseball young, they're not going to fall when they get older. Baseball, I enjoy it. Like I said, I saw it the other night. It was great. But, you know, I tried to help my kid. My kid, you know, he wants to run around and play lacrosse. And
well, you think about it, next to lacrosse, and lacrosse was not around for me at all when I was a kid.
Exactly.
And we didn't have it, and I wish we did. I didn't see lacrosse until I went to college and all the prep school kids were playing it.
Yeah.
And it's if you're a high school kid or even younger, if you had a choice in the spring between lacrosse and baseball, to me there's no choice at all.
That's exactly what I'm saying, but no one talks about it. It's like the white elephant. Everyone's like, why is baseball losing this and that? Because the kid's not going to sit down. Like, we had a lacrosse tournament last week in Rhode Island. It was awesome. We were in Newport all weekend playing. It was amazing.
Now, why, in your opinion, doesn't lacrosse get more exposure?
Because it's a young sport.
It's a kid's sport. You know what? And they all, you know, just like soccer, the kids play soccer till they're 18, then they watch football. Kids play lacrosse till they're 18, then they watch baseball, maybe not as much as the transition from soccer to football is.
It won't be that way. You wait 10 years. It's good. If you put more lacrosse on, they're going to watch it. When these kids get older, when they had the finals in lacrosse, we were watching it every day before lacrosse practice. We weren't. My kid wasn't watching baseball. We were watching all those playoff games in the lacrosse.
Let me ask you this. You might know more than I do. I know that they had the national championships at Gillette. How were those attended? What kind of crowds did they get out there?
I don't know. I didn't know. I think it rained that weekend, to be honest. Actually, no, it was pretty nice. It rained the year
before. Do you like lacrosse? Do you like lacrosse?
Obviously he does.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, my son's plays. My son's. You know, I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, here's the other problem. Here's the other problem, Colin. Not only is baseball slow-paced, but it's a sport, and we all know this, based on failure. It's a sport that pretty much you fail 70% of the time at the plate.
Oh, I know.
And that's the good player.
You know, I've watched those games. My family was the Whalers. So I watched all those Red Sox games. To be honest with you, I fell asleep before they were over. I was trying to watch them.
And the other problem is it's not only the slow pace of the game, it's all the commercials in between the innings. People have a lot of other places for entertainment these days, be it the sport world or the entertainment world with streaming TV and all that other kind of stuff. It's hard to sit through a baseball game. But again, this is the wrong place to be having this discussion.
Do you find that more on TV, though? If you're at the game, is it hard to sit there?
I don't know. I think when you're at the game, you're a captive audience. You're there. You know. And when I go once a year, my son says, Dad, I want to go to a Red Sox game. And he convinces me to go. It's we take in the festivity. We take in the pomp and the circumstances, the atmosphere, the aura, you know, the smell of the popcorn and the stale beer and the everything else that goes with it. The baseball game is almost secondary to the event itself. So I think you can do that for one or two games. Can you sustain it watching television or listening to the radio for 162? Probably not. Peter in the car, you're next on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hello?
Hey, Peter.
Yeah, hi.
What's going on?
I think I got a different excitement of baseball. You know, there usually is some special moment, 2004 with Veritek and, you know, the pitcher confrontation.
A-Rod.
Obviously, 2013 had its big moment. I don't think the Mookie Betts moment is yet that galvanizing moment. But this team, you know, I think we're a smarter audience. And, you know, there's no social media hype and junk like there is in football. We're just fans of the game. And this is a historic season. They've set so many firsts and, you know, JD, and there's just so many incredible things. I'm quietly enjoying an incredible season. I'm checking stats all the time. I'm checking records. I'm checking standings. And I think a lot of fans are tuned in, but you know, the playoffs is the playoffs, and this is really a really fun season. I think people really know that anybody can win playoffs. You just never know who's hot and who's not.
Right, and it does come down to who has the best pitching, and as we talked about at the top of the show, can you trust anybody beyond Sale in any postseason scenario in this rotation?
Our pitching is a work in progress. So we've got guys who are trying to get healthy. We've got guys who are trying to figure it out, and we've seen – you know, some things. So I think that part's a wait and see. I'm not worried about it. I just want to see, you know, the good baseball that we're seeing. And, you know, Pedroia is another X factor. We'd love to see him
you know, back and helping out.
Right, and he's been obviously not a factor at all so far. This is an awesome right. team. There's no question about it. There's so many positives, and we're not sitting here trying to destroy the Red Sox or trying to poison what's been a great season.
See, the other thing with this team that you can say about the team this year over last year is last year had a good team, but this year the team is likable. I think they're very likable.
Yeah, you know what? I can tell you. You know what likable is?
Winning. Winning. I understand that.
Oh, they're so likable. Like, you know these people's personalities.
Were they winning last year?
Yes, they were.
Okay, were they likable?
Not to this degree they were winning.
The defense rest.
Okay, not to this degree.
Put you in your place every time I have to do that.
617-77. When you rest, boy, it could be dangerous. 617.
Today, yeah.
779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Mustard and Johnson. Hour number two.
This tennis match is still going on. Now, do you think the people out there are excited to watch a three-hour tennis match?
It's longer than 3 hours, I can tell you that. They started yesterday, and they're still playing. It's the men's semifinals we're referring to. Nadal and Djokovic. We'll give you an update on that. Come back with hour number two. It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.